Now, in 1 Corinthians 2, the 14th verse, God says this about the natural man, man as he is, the child of Adam. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. And in this same passage, he explains why this is. For example, let me use an illustration that the passage doesn't actually use, but it gives the idea, however. A dog can't understand the things of a man, his heartaches, his joys, his problems, his aims and aspirations. A dog can't understand all that because he does not have a spirit, the spirit of man in him. He just has the nature of a dog. To understand a man, he'd have to have the nature of a man, the spirit of man in him. Now, in the same way, man cannot understand the things of God as he is, the natural man, because he doesn't have the nature, he doesn't have the spirit of God. We have that in the 10th, in the, beg your pardon, the 11th verse. How could anybody understand the things of a man, or anything understand the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God no man can understand, but only the Spirit of God. That's why the preaching of the cross, even, which makes such sublime common sense to us, the preaching of the cross is to those who perish foolishness, says 1 Corinthians 1:18. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. The natural man doesn't understand it, but the saved man does. Now, when a man accepts Christ as his Savior, he is born again, and he receives the Spirit of God. Paul calls us now the temple of God, because the Spirit of God dwells in us. And we are baptized into, not by water now, this is by the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into Christ, and into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And so the babe is born. Now, Paul has a lot to say about babes in Christ. Those babes may grow fast. They may grow very slowly. It depends on whether that newborn babe is carnally minded or spiritually minded. We should be spiritually minded the moment we know Christ through His Word. We should want to study more of that book and get to know Him better. That's why 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Now then, we come to the carnal Christian. How many Christians there are that don't grow? How many, even among those who have known Christ for years, who boast about believing the Bible, show little or no desire to understand it? Rather than study to attain to a better understanding of the Word of God and become such as know how to wield the sword of the Spirit, they boast, actually, that they enjoy the simple things. The man says, I'm a simple man, just give me the simple things. They've overlooked the fact that Paul goes on to say, we give milk to these babies, but we speak wisdom unto them who are mature, not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom of God. To many people, sad to say, many Christians, the Bible is hardly more than a fetish, some kind of a mystical book containing many wonderful, comforting passages. They give the curses and the difficult passages just passing glances. And they choose for their meditation and discussion only those passages that, have you ever heard this phrase before? Warm their hearts. Oh, it warmed my heart. That's enough for them. Now, the Bible calls such people carnal. Fleshly is the old English word. Sarkikos. The old nature has almost full control over them. They possess the Spirit, but they walk after the flesh with little interest in learning the things that the Holy Spirit of God would teach them and have them know and obey. They've been born of God, but they haven't grown. They're not actually babes, for they've been saved long enough to have grown to spiritual maturity. But they failed to grow, and so Paul says, how does that go in chapter 3 and verse 1? I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They weren't babes, but they hadn't grown, so he had to deal with them as with babes. It was among such that the apostle determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Even this was his decision when they were first unsaved. He saw that they were a very shallow, superficial people. They were immature. It was the fun capital of the world there at Corinth, and it made for immaturity. But now, even after they're saved, he says, I couldn't give you anything but milk, because you're just like babes yet. Now, the carnal Christian, like the babe in Christ, can take in the fact that Christ died for his sins, but he can digest a little more than this spiritually. To such the apostle wrote, and I'm going to read the two verses now, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat or solid food. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And the word bear means to keep it on your stomach spiritually, to digest it. Now, this agrees with Hebrews 5, 12, and 13, where he speaks to very much the same kind of people. They had not grown. He says, for when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. What are the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of solid food? For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I remember one of the deacons in a church where I was pastor used to come almost every Sunday morning and knock on the door where we gathered for prayer before the service, and I'd come to the door and he'd say, listen, could we have a little milk this morning? Not for me, but I've got some friends here. It wasn't the friends that needed the milk. It was he that was always crying, I need milk. What joy and fellowship there is in gatherings where newly saved people are present. Did you ever notice that? In the spiritual realm, as well as in the physical, everybody loves a baby. But the joy that fills the hearts of loving parents is turned to the bitter sorrow and disappointment if that babe fails to grow. The latter condition is as unspeakably sad and embarrassing as the former is joyous. So it is in the realm of the spirit. The carnal Christian has failed to grow. Let me ask, are you carnal or spiritual, you Christian listeners? Now, the carnal Christian continues in a state of protracted infancy. He must be kept exclusively on a milk diet because, though saved for years, perhaps, he's still unable to digest solid food. The deep things of God, the solid food of the Word. He's still unskillful as the word in the Word, as we read in Hebrews 5. He needs to be taught the elementary things, the first principles of the Word of God. Now, retarded growth is evidenced in many ways, all of which come under the heading of carnality or fleshliness. The Corinthians, so sternly rebuked for their carnality by the Apostle Paul, are said to have been careless about their morals. They were puffed up. They were inconsiderate of one another. They were stingy with their funds. While possessing the Spirit, they walked after the flesh. says in Galatians 5:19-23, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envies, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have told you before, as I've often told you in time past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law." One of the most marked indications of retarded spiritual growth is self-interest and party strife, as in the case of the Corinthian believers. They were spiritually petty and small, so that the apostle had to write them in this chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, "Are ye not yet carnal? Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? While one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Now, it's not without significance that Peter's exhortation to newborn babes to desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby, is prefaced by the words, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word." In the same vein, the apostle writes in Ephesians 4:1-4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, for there is one body." Now, please don't misunderstand us. We don't mean that there must not be discipline in the church. That's another one of the signs of immaturity, the terrible permissiveness that goes on in this same epistle. We read about a man right here in this church, a brother, whom he said should be excommunicated. He should be put out of the church. They should separate themselves from him because he was living in open sin. But by and large, do we not do well to give heed to these admonitions? With the professing church divided into hundreds of denominations, to think or talk in terms of my church, our church, rather than the church, to consider only self and party, is a sign of spiritual immaturity. It is childish and petty, and sincere believers should grow up from such an attitude and have the whole household of God as theirs. Now, in connection with this, the apostle writes to the Corinthians, "Are ye not carnal, and walk as men," that is, as natural as the natural man in his unsaved state? This aptly sums up the condition of the carnal Christian. He's saved, but he walks in many respects as the unsaved about him. Put him among a group of unsaved people, and it'll be difficult to tell the difference. Fortunately, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:19 that the Lord knoweth them that are his. Ah, but the passage goes on to say, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Thank God the simplest of believers are no longer the children of wrath, even as others, but believers who walk as men, as natural men, will surely suffer loss at the judgment seat of Christ. Now a word about the cause of retarded growth. In the physical realm, retarded growth may be due to some mishap, or may simply be one of the results of the curse, having no direct bearing on the behavior of the parents, and certainly not of the child itself. In the spiritual realm, this is not so. God has made abundant provision for every child of God to grow to spiritual manhood, to become spiritually mature. And Paul rebukes the Corinthian believers for not having grown. The trouble with the Corinthians was that they didn't have much of an appetite for the word. They didn't have a passion to know and obey the truth. For the babe in Christ who desires the pure milk of the word will surely grow thereby. This was the trouble with the Hebrew believers, too. For when the apostle would have gone farther into some of the greatest truths about Christ as an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he was forced to write, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, not because we couldn't utter them, but seeing ye are dull." The Greek word there is nothros, slothful, of hearing. You don't care enough. You're not interested enough. And this is precisely the cause of the carnality among believers today. During World War II, there were several occasions when parents would come to me with letters from their sons in the armed forces, explaining that a code had been arranged by which Johnny could let them know which theater of the war he had been sent to, but that now they had trouble understanding his letter. Together we would sit down and study that letter in detail in an effort to make out exactly what it was that Johnny was trying to say to his parents. Well, such interest and concern over a letter from Johnny, and apparently so, I should say, appropriately so. But do the majority of believers show such interest in the Word of God to them? Are they as deeply concerned to understand its contents as they would be over a letter from Johnny? No, they are generally not. They're satisfied with the simple thing, with knowing only a few passages that warm their hearts. This is what is back of the spiritual immaturity, the carnality in perhaps 90% of Christians today. Well, time is going, but let us put it down and never forget it. God holds us believers responsible to grow to spiritual maturity through sincere and diligent study of His Word. To the newly saved, he says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He would have us know him better. To those who had been saved for some time but hadn't grown, he said, you ought to be teachers. To all, he says, everyone that useth milk, that is exclusively, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. Then the 6th chapter of Hebrews and the 1st verse, therefore leaving the principles, that is the rudimentary things of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, unto maturity. I hope that's your desire, Christian friend. And may I say a word now to those who are not even in the category of carnal believers or babes in Christ. You're not even in Christ. God sees you in yourself, and He must punish sin. He must be just with you. He can't break down the whole order of things and just smuggle you into heaven because He's so loving. He is loving, but He's righteous too, and in both love and justice and righteousness. Christ died for our sins, and God there paid the penalty for our sins Himself. Will you believe it? Will you trust in Christ as your